The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by David McDonald. It is Saturday, 27th of August, 2022. This is episode 224. How are we doing, Damon? I mean, for me, I don't know if you saw this, actually, a bunch of men yanking an enormous python out from underneath the car on my walk home from school on Friday. Endoscopy today. Who knows what treat Sunday is going to have in store for me. What is up with you?
I'm sorry. You saw a what and a what? What did you say?
It's you on WhatsApp. You didn't look at it, did you?
I don't know. I haven't really been. No, I just got back from.
This will be a great opening to the show. So in our NJPW group chat,
yes, on
WhatsApp. If you open that up, I sent a video at. It was about just before 10 p.m. my time. So
got it. Okay, I see a tube in a car. All right, let's see. I'm going to press play. Oh, fuck, that's a snake. What the fuck? That's a massive fucking steak. Steak and snake. Holy shit, that was in a car?
Like, yeah, I was just walking home from school. I stopped to get a coffee and I saw a crowd of people with these bunch of guys pulling a tube out from under the car. I was like, I wonder what's going on there. Went to have a look. Oh, it's a python. It was so big. I was looking around for John Voight and Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube to be doing battle with it. But no, this is one of these things that might seem really bizarre, but for Thailand, it's like kind of normal. There was like, even one guy had his young child right out the front. Hey, look at this. Check this out.
My God. This thing is massive. Holy shit. My God. And there's just guys that are just like, all right, I'm just going to pull it out. What? And then the one guy,
yeah,
well, in the white, he goes over. He has no fear. Oh, my God. There's a couple of them that are run.
To be fair, right, if it was a venomous snake, like if it was a king cobra, I would be legging it down the street. I wouldn't have gone anywhere near that. But given that it was a python, they're not venomous, I think. So no danger. We're fine. Unless you're a small rodent, then pythons are cute and cuddly.
Are they? I don't think they are. I
might have confused them with cats.
Maybe. I think maybe you did. Because I would not want any. Actually, I take that back. I did have a rather large snake wrapped around me in a. We went to like this kind of like a zoo or reserve. I don't know what the fuck. But they had like snakes and you could wrap them around you and take a picture. I did that. So I can't be that scared. But yeah, fuck, that's huge, man. That's like Jake the Snake Roberts. Fuck. Probably bigger.
Damien's been on Hard Times since. Yes.
Hiding in cars.
I stole that joke. I think it was Neil David said that joke. Neil, I'm sorry if you're listening.
Oh, all right, Neil. Neil Orange Peel. All right. How we doing? We're good? You're doing all right, all things considered, except that fucking hole in your stomach. You're fucking great.
Yeah, I've got a duodenal ulcer. I don't know how the fuck that happened. Probably all the copious amounts of cider and chili and coffee that I've been consuming over the summer holiday. I had an endoscopy today. I didn't feel anything. They gave me a sedative and then I just woke up 2 hours later and they're like, oh, you're up. Here's a hot chocolate. Off you go. So could have been worse. It was the one that goes in your mouth, not up your bum. Which was a bit disappointing for me, but never mind. I can't have everything.
Right. I was about to say, how would they put it in your butt? They would just shoot it across the room because it's so fucking big. Right in.
Well, when I had to get changed, like, you got to take all your clothes off and put on the special robes and stuff. And the trousers had the flap at the back, you know, where they can lift it up to get full access to your backside. So I was like, oh, great. They are going to do this one after all. And then, no, it was not the case. So maybe next
time. How do you know that? How do you know? You don't know.
That's true. Well, they sprayed my throat with anesthetic. Maybe that was just a diversion.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're out.
Misdirections.
Little hocus pocus. Yeah, you don't know. You're out. They could have shoved their whole fucking foot in your ass and you wouldn't have known. I mean, you might be a little sore right now, but, you know, yeah. I'll tell you what. I think what you should do is you should just reach around there and see if you can pull anything out. They might have put something up there. We left something up there.
At least it's this watch or something still out there.
Right. Exactly. A shoe. Car keys. I've heard worse.
Python.
Gerbil. What? Oh, look. All right. Boy, right now I'm very nervous, though, Joel, because as I'm looking at the... Our recording platform, it sounds like it's recording and it feels like it's recording, but I don't see my my wavelengths moving. I see yours, I don't see mine. So I got a green check mark. I got a passed grade. So let's fucking hope this thing works.
If it doesn't, then it's no biggie because that's just crap anyway, isn't it? Who cares?
It'll be the show that never airs, but that's how we'll bill it as. We'll just be like, oh, we had a show, but we can't possibly air it because we released information we shouldn't have. Make it all fucking creepy and have everybody be like, well, I wonder what it is. Oh, please tell us.
Well, look, nothing's going on in the world of wrestling, and I have recently been sedated several hours ago, so it's going to be a fucking mess anyway, so never mind.
Fuck it. Whatever. All right, there, sedated Joel. You're driving the boat. Seems safe.
Okay, where should we go first? I know you're not a big TV watcher, Damon, but I've been very excited this week because we got to see the first episode of House of the Dragon. I don't know if you're aware of this. This is the new prequel series from the Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire universe. It was a very strong start. I enjoyed the first episode a lot, but I do have a bit of a chip on my shoulder today. This was Andrew from the Discord shared this with me. Now, there is a character in one of these books, the Sworn Sword novella, who I think is not getting half of the critical acclaim that he deserves. I'm going to send you a link to this character, a real character from the books, Damon.
Okay.
I'll send this to you. Please tell us his name. Maybe just read the first introductory sentence for us.
All right. I'm excited. Let's see here. Here it is. All right, that's Wilbert Osprey. Osgray? Wilbert Osgray. Sir Wilbert Osgray is also known as the Little Lion, was a knight, House of Osgray, during the reign of blah, 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 blah. Sounds familiar. No.
Yeah, I you're probably sick of the Wilbert Osgray discourse at this point. Now, look, you don't have to like Will Osgray as a person, because I know there's plenty of people out there who think he's a wanker. He's always getting buried in our Discord. But if you can't acknowledge the fact that Will Osgray is one of the best knights in the world right now, you're either arguing in bad faith or you're an idiot who doesn't understand and appreciate a great warrior when you see one. And I personally, Damon, I'm disgusted that his incredible underdog performance against King of the Rock, Lancelot Lannister IV, in the GRM climax didn't get the praise that it should have, just because there weren't any cheering fans there. And look, I can just go on the internet now and open his joust match profile to show you how good he is, right? Let's look at his tawny star ratings. Okay, versus Sir Robert Ashford, 4¾ stars. Sir Braxton Beesbury, 4½ stars. Sir Colin Florent, 5 stars. Sir Eustace Hightower, 4¾ stars. So Oliver Oakhart, 5¼ stars. So Ryan Redwine, 4½ stars. So Samwell Tarly, 4¾ stars. these performances speak for themselves, Damon. And I know the voices of Jousting Discord and Lord Davos Malcolm from the Westeros Observer newsletter tend to ram Osgrey down people's throats. But at the very least, if you can't recognize his case as Jouster of the Year, you're lost.
I feel like I've been here before. I feel that uncomfortability again. Oh, come on. We're trying
all the meme accounts are going to be after me at Robert Baratheon's belly, at Theon Greyjoy's cock. They're all just going to be in my mentions now.
Oh,
what have I done?
You've ruined yourself again. Why do you do this? You just walk out there with a strapped with explosives and you just walk in the room. Terrible. Unbelievable. Oh.
All right. Actual wrestling talk then. So I don't know if you saw this one. So Spannerhead says, continue the discussion Tom Lawler brought up. Did you hear this thing about Tom Lawler's game that he was playing on the tour bus during the G1?
What was he playing?
But he and the boy. Okay, let me get the quote exactly right. I don't want to misquote it here. So he and the boys, during the G1 Climax tour, as they're traveling from town to town, they played a game of who could CM Punk actually beat in a UFC fight?
Okay. All right.
So Spannerhead would like us to think, who in New Japan do you think Punk could actually beat in the octagon?
All right. Let's think. I mean, there has to be someone with literally no fighting experience, right? Who could CM Punk legitimately
beat? Is he beating anyone from this year's G1 lineup? Yujiro. CM Punk versus Yujiro.
No, I bet you Yujiro sneaky. He probably knows more fucking shit than half the roster. Like, I don't trust him. Maybe ELP?
ELP is very good at dick punches. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do dick punches, though, are you?
Right.
That's banned in UFC.
Are you allowed
to do purple nurples and black breaks? Is that allowed?
That's true. You could. I don't see why not. Imagine that in a UFC fight, Conor McGregor. That might be one. I'll go. Also, how about could CM Punk beat David Finlay?
No, I think Finlay's a lot fitter and healthier and stronger.
Probably right. How about Juice? Legit fight.
No,
I think CM Punk can beat Juice. In a legit fight.
I'm really into that. Do you think we can get that booked? Wrestle Kingdom?
Right. But seriously, though, like at least Punk has some MMA training, right?
Did you see his fights?
What's that? Yes, I have. I mean, again, he's had training. He doesn't necessarily use that training in the ring.
He was in the room when the training was being delivered. So.
Right, okay. I would say I would put money on Punk versus Juice. I would. Do you really think Juice could beat Punk in a legit straight-up fight?
Yep.
Okay.
He's got that vicious left hand.
Stop it. All right. Well, I'm going to go there. Fale? No, I think Fale would squash him. Chase? Chase Owens?
No, I'd pick Chase in that one.
Wow. Okay. So basically you're saying no one could beat CM Punk. Or everyone could beat CM Punk.
I mean, if I'm picking the whole New Japan roster, I'm starting to look at the dads, basically, and I'm thinking CM Punk versus Tenzan.
Dads in a real fight.
Oh, Naito. What about Punk versus Naito?
Naito would tear him.
I don't think Naito could handle himself in a real fight.
Oh, I think so. You don't think he could handle himself in a real fight? Yeah, I think he could.
No, with his fucked up eye and fucked up knees, no.
What do you think Punk has? Punk's, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got the jiu-jits.
It's like the battle of the receding hairlines. um, No, I think Naito beats. What
does a shoot fight between CM Punk and Jonah look like?
Oh, I think Jonah would fucking destroy him.
Absolutely flatten him, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yes. Obviously, Tom Lawler is destroying him. Hiroshi Tanahashi in a real fight against CM Punk. Who wins?
That's quite an even one, I would say. That was very difficult to call.
Yeah.
I'd say they go the distance. We're going to the judges' scorecard
okay,
there.
Judges. Okay. All right.
We're sort of the last 3 minutes of the match is just them sort of laying on top of each other, gasping for breath, staring at the clock.
How about Jay White?
No chance. Jay White would destroy him.
You think Jay White would destroy him? Youth. Yeah. He's got a little youth, right?
The abs.
And abs.
But Jay White's got that farm strength, you know?
He's yeah. Those bales that's, of true. Hay and- that's true. That's true. All right. Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly, CM Punk, straight up.
Chris Charlton. Now we're talking.
Now it's an even fight. Okay.
All right, well, thanks everyone for listening. That was the Super Chat Cast.
Actually, probably the best discussion we've had in months.
In last week's massage talk. Anyway, actual wrestling that occurred. There was a pretty good match in the week, actually, which was free on YouTube. This was Doki versus El Linderman for the G-Rex title at Glate G Pro Wrestling version 31. At Korakuen Hall. This is on the 24th, so it's free on YouTube, so anyone can check it out. And I would recommend that people do it, because this was a very enjoyable main event, and I think it says a lot about Doki, how often we're seeing him popping up in these showcase matches for events like this, you know, stuff like Taka Taichi Mania, because now he's a guy you can depend on to deliver a quality match, which he did here, and really great stuff, tremendous sequences between the grappling, the pinning combinations, good submission transitions, the Doki bomb, which every single time he does that, his opponent always fails to catch him and he lands flat on his ass. It was no different here. No one ever manages to catch him. But even though he lost this, El Linderman successfully retained. But I think it's another feather in Doki's cap. I think he's continuing to build a really great portfolio of matches, build up that cachet with pervert fans like us who watch this nonsense. And in my opinion, I think that makes him worthy of an eventual IWGP Junior Heavyweight title run. Now, I'm not saying now, maybe not next year, maybe not even the year after that. I think this one would have to be a slow burn. And I think someone like El Desperado would be a decent comparison, where he's got this, you know, big, lovable, scumbag, scrappy underdog babyface energy that we're just starting to tap into. I think it's got a lot of potential. As for Linderman, he's great. I really hope we see him back in the New Japan Junior Division soon, because I think he's what the Junior Division needs right now. Someone like him, not Kushida. So we've got a question here. Andrew says, Doki and Linderman absolutely killed it in Glate's recent Korakuen Hall main event. Is there any reason these two shouldn't be getting junior title shots in New Japan to inject some fresh blood in the title picture?
Well, here's the thing. So Doki is... He might be one of those guys that are like... put in a position, and maybe the best position, from a I can work independence, I can work New Japan, than most of the roster, because it's not like they're protecting him in New Japan, right? It's not like he's a guy who can't lose to anyone on the roster, but he can also get wins, which is nice. Okay, so we're a 500 hitter. We're you know, even Steven. Which means he can go to other promotions, right? Which is no sweat off of New Japan's back. He can lose and still have great matches, right? Like, to me, that's one of the most valuable pieces of a pro wrestling promotion are guys like that. Guys that can, they're not built up strong enough so that they are untouchable. Yet, on the other hand, they're got a name, and whether that's through just grinding it out, whether that's getting a couple big wins, you know, he's a name enough so that he can headline these, you know, smaller independent shows and still be able to put on great main events and lose with no harm, no foul. Like, that's a
so
good.
So he's not going to pull a Thunder Rosa then. He's not going to turn up and be like, oh, my leg hurts. I'm not doing the job. Sorry. See you in a few months.
Oh, is that what that was? Okay. Okay. Look at Joe with the scoop. Is that right? She's not wanting to lie down, huh?
That is what I've heard, yes.
Wow. Look at you. You have all the inside scoop. Who was that, Lanza?
Of course. I think it's been verified by others as well, actually. I think right. Joe probably came up with it first. Doesn't get the respect he deserves for those scoops.
He talks to a lot of people. I'm telling you. He talks to a lot of people. Not only a lot of people, period. You know, like from all promotions. Look, he's an inside track guy. He's a mover and a shaker. He's a body maker. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Please continue.
Okay, so that was Doki and L. Lindemann. Let's talk a bit about, again, Will Ospreay. So did you see this Dynamite match, the trios match? So his team with Aussie Open defeated the Death Triangle team. So they are into the next round where they will face Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. So we are looking at the mouth-watering prospect of Ospreay and Omega finally squaring off in the ring. First of all, did you see that trios match? What did you think of it?
I did. I liked it a lot. It was fun. It was for a TV match, like, that's all action. You know what I mean? That was that one spot.
Except when they got to do the ad breaks. That's the one. Why the US wrestling TV stuff doesn't land with me, because they just got a slap on a chin lock when the ads come up. It just really takes me out of it. But aside from that, and aside from the Kip Sabian stuff, parts of it I liked. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see Ospreay's team win, actually, because I didn't think they would move this quickly with the Ospreay Omega program. I mean, so obviously they're facing each other in the next round. Do you think they actually are in the ring together and exchange moves, or do you think they're going to keep them apart?
I think they'll be in the ring together just to at the very least tease the future, because I think that's where we're heading, right? I mean, I think it's the handwriting's on the wall. And that's exciting to me. I'm sorry. To me, that the prospect of that singles match, that's real nice. Now, they fought before in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not a completely new, unique match. But in this day and age, is there such a thing? I'm excited for it. I truly am. Because if that's the direction that they're going, which it seems like it is, how can anybody complain about that? Although it does meld the two pro wrestlers that probably get the most grief from quote purists, but man, I think those matches will be fantastic.
Dr. Gary says, assuming we're getting Omega Ospreay, where do you think it happens? Who do you think cares more, Japanese fans or American fans?
I don't think one over the other, really. I think it's, I said it last week. I said, you book that main event and you build even halfway properly, it's going to sell. I mean, seriously, that's a matchup people want to see. You could put that in the dome. You could put that in the dome, no problem whatsoever. I wouldn't be surprised if we're waiting for that. I mean, it is September. I mean, almost September, but let's just call it September. We got a couple of months, not that long. We're in dome season. I would not be surprised.
Andrew says, I enjoyed the comparison of Omega versus Ospreay and agreed with Damon that it's an interesting discussion to compare people. But I hear enough about those two. Please get comparison Damon to do Tanahashi versus Okada, or Naito versus Jay, or Kanemaru versus Taguchi, or some other interesting pairing for comparison. So could you pick two wrestlers, maybe at random, and compare them?
All right. Go ahead. Give me them.
Okay. Let's take the first one then. Tanahashi and Okada.
Okay. Like, who's better? Is that what we're doing here?
I'm imagining some sort of top Trump scenario. We're, you know, comparing who's got the best hair, the best outfit, the best music, the best wrestling moves, the best drawing ability, the best resume of matches.
I mean, look, to me, Hiroshi Tanahashi is one of the greatest pro wrestlers of all time. Period. End of sentence. In the same breath, how can you hand wave Okada? There are what, seven matches that you can dip your toes into and just completely immerse yourself in the greatness that is pro wrestling. It's one of the greatest pro wrestling feuds of all time, those two. Who's better? I'll tell you what, not for nothing, that robe that Okada wears now, love it. Fucking love it. So much better than that. What did you describe? The cup of soup? Fucking. Oh, I hated that thing. The fucking, with the black light? Ugh, I hated that thing. But I like the robe. I like the robe. Robe, it looks regal. Looks good. I mean, who's better? Who's better, Joel?
If both their careers, if they were both just call it day tomorrow,
yeah,
then I think Tanahashi edges it. But if you ask me to prognosticate, look into the future and say when they've both hung up their boots, obviously I would be assuming that Okada wrestles for longer and has more highs left. So I would say by the end of their respective careers, Okada might have just pipped him, but it'd be very close.
Here's
it was
my,
just
here's
different
my...
times, wasn't it? Like doing it during you know, the dark ages, Okada basically helping to lift New Japan into the boom period of, like, you know, the late 2010s.
Like, if you're taking their entire body of work to this date, right? So Okada, and again, I'm not doing any like research right now. Like, I'm not digging online. I remember, but just off the top of my head, it feels to me that Okada has the edge when it comes to in-ring performance, like matches as a whole, right? Like, so Okada has not only, you know, the stuff with Tanahashi, he has the stuff with Kenny, he has the stuff with Will, he has the stuff with, you know, AJ. Like, there's a lot of fucking shit that he has done. Now, that's not to say Tanahashi hasn't, because Tanahashi also has Okada. He also has a little program with Okada. That's tough. That really is a tough one. I would say Tanahashi. But honestly, if you ask me tomorrow, I could easily say Okada. All right, let's do one more. I like this.
You want to do another one?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do the next one then. Naito and Jay White.
So Naito's had two cracks at the title, right? As does Jay White. Jay White has two, right? This is the second.
Okay. Yes.
All right. I personally think Naito's had better main event matches. You look at that G1 final against Kenny. Outstanding. Even that entire tournament for him was really good. His matches with Ibushi, some fucking great matches. And Jay has had great matches, but they're different style matches. I would go Naito. And I think Naito's bigger. Like, and I don't know if it's the same now, but like Naito going into like that dome with Okada main eventing, like, I don't think there was anybody hotter in the promotion And I don't know if Jay White can say the same, right? I don't think there's any time. Like, they may have pushed him and tried to make him this, but I don't think he's ever reached the level of, I don't know, you know, if popularity is the word, but maybe popularity is, of Naito. I think, and again, people can hand wave it, but I don't think Jay White sniffs merch sales with Naito. You know what I mean? I don't even think it's an argument you can make. I'll go Naito.
Yeah, I would also go for Naito. Although Jay, again, he's got time on his side, so the same caveat would apply there. That by the time Jay's career said and done, who knows what he achieved, because he's got the world at his feet right now. But at the moment, I would say Naito comfortably ahead. But yeah, we'll see. 10 years
right,
down
the line, we'll have
a very different conversation.
One more.
Taguchi and Kanemaru.
You know, Kanemaru was a decent deal in Noah. And Taguchi, I mean, I would take Kanemaru's body of work in New Japan over Taguchi's.
Yes, but in terms of historical significance, lest we forget that Taguchi is indirectly responsible for the creation of the Bullet Club. I'm not saying it was his idea. He's sitting around with Devitt. He's like, yeah, oh, Devitt, I've got this great idea.
But you know what, though? I did like that tag team a lot. Funky Weapon.
Apollo Go-Go, wasn't it?
Yeah. Or people in the States, Apollo 55.
Apollo 55. Yeah, no, I got schooled on that when I did the podcast with Chris Charlton. I was like, Apollo Go-Go? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. If you're just talking about New Japan body of work, I think Taguchi gets it. But because here's the thing, Kanemaru is consistently good at a level, and Taguchi, especially in more recent times, has peaks and valleys. Like, there's times where you're just like, okay, I'm over. Okay, we get it. You got an ass that's made out of fucking lead. Okay. But there are plenty of times where you could point a finger and be like, Taguchi, in Best of the Super Juniors, turns it on in certain times. That one's tough, because maybe consistency is better than dizzying highs and low lows. Maybe I go Kanemaru. I'm going to go Kanemaru.
Yeah, I think if we're looking at wrestling as a whole, not just New Japan, I would also go for Kanemaru. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting comparison, because they're both at similar points in their career right now. I would say 2022, if you're choosing which one of these guys can, who's getting the tap on the shoulder if you need the big main event.
Right.
I would say Kanemaru at this point. I think he's having a low-key, really good year, actually.
Okay, let's do this. Who's better? Rich Craich, Joe Lanza?
Don't make me choose between my two dads. I won't do it.
I'll tell you this. Rich Craich is underrated in the sense that, like, there is a glue that he has. Like, it's almost kind of like, you know, a comedy duo where you have a straight guy and you have the wacky guy, you know? I don't mean straight sexually. I mean straight just kind of driving the boat. And I think Rich is very underrated in that. Very underrated. And I kind of like
also Rich is the guy who sends us the money every month.
That's a good point, too. So, yes, I like Rich, but whoever writes the check, that's my favorite one. I don't know why I just turned into Luigi.
You suddenly turned into an Italian stereotype.
That's my favorite one. Okay. All right. What else you want to do? What other games we got?
Multiverse A says, after his matches with Ricky Knight Jr. in RevPro and the Trios match on Dynamite, Ospreay has 7 matches this year that Uncle Dave has given at least 5 stars. Where does Will's year rank on the list of all-time great years? Also, does New Japan or AEW get Omega versus Ospreay? Well, we talked about that before. I think they both get it. I think we'll get one in Japan where Ospreay wins and one in the US where Omega wins. But yeah, where would you rank this? I mean, the crazy thing, and we did have this talk last week, so I don't want to go into too much like rehashing it again, but the crazy thing about Ospreay and the year he's having is he was very sick and out of action for a big chunk of it, but it's still sort of stacking up to other great years, isn't it?
It's going under the radar, unfortunately. Like, I don't think people are giving him enough praise for the output he is delivering. Like, he's in beast mode right now. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, it feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder. That's good. I love that. That he wants to go out there and be like, okay, fuck you. I'm having a great match. I don't care who's in the ring with me. Right. And I don't care what jet lag I have. And I don't give a, you know what I mean? Like, and he, like, that last week is pretty amazing considering G1. Then he goes over the RevPro, has a pretty great match. And then hops back on a plane and goes to AEW for a bit. That's pretty great. He's having a hell of a fucking year. And I think people are undervaluing it. And I think part of that, unfortunately, is a lot of that greatness happened in a New Japan ring where it feels like maybe not everyone is tuning in for those moments. I mean, I think there are hardcore pro wrestling fans that will watch anything, that have seen it and are singing those praises. But I just think that the general pro wrestling buzz, it's hurt because some of this stuff has happened, or a lot of this stuff has happened in a New Japan ring where people aren't following as religiously. I hate to say that, but that seems to me the only logical explanation.
In-Ring Art says, will the AEW title be defended at Wrestle Kingdom?
Why not? Right?
I think if it stays on Jon Moxley, I think that increases the likelihood of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what AEW's schedule looks like during that time frame. But as we well know, there are these things called airplanes that can travel people to and fro rather quickly. So to me, it's really about who wants to go and who wants to pay day. I think
where would it slot on the card though? So remember that Wrestle Kingdom now is only one night. Right. How high on the card does the AEW title go?
Depends on who has it and what the match is, honestly.
Okay, well, let's just say, I'm just throwing one out there at random. Let's say Mox versus Naito.
That's high. That's not fourth match on the show. That's post intermission. Yeah, has to be, right? This is not the Ring of Honor title. You know what I mean? This is not, you know, whoever is holding the Ring of Honor title. No disrespect, but you know, well, you know what though? Now I think you might even see that. You might even see Ring of Honor being defended on that same show with Claudio holding it. I don't see why not. But I think the AEW title, that type of match, Naito and Moxley, yeah, that's going to be high up on the show.
If it does turn out to be Naito versus Moxley, you heard it here first.
Ooh.
That's not a pastrami sandwich. That's just me throwing random shit at all. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's talk about some of the cards that have been announced for the upcoming Burning Spirit tour.
Ooh.
We have in Japan. Now, of course, we have 2 shows with cheering to look forward to.
Yes.
So those will be in Korakuen Hall, Monday, September 5th, and Tuesday, September the 6th. And the first show, we are opening up. So this is the first New Japan match, I say post-pandemic, but you know what I mean, where cheering is allowed. Singles match. Have you seen this one, by the way?
No.
Okay. Minoru Suzuki which, you know, smart, you know, Casanina Ray, all that, yep. Fans can sing along. His opponent, and would you agree, though, this is a huge spot? Whoever his opponent is, that's a huge accolade to, you know, be chosen to be the first person
yes.
for the cheering, right? Okay, his opponent, Bad Dude Tito.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm just, listen, that's a great spot for him. It's fantastic. He's going to get murdered, but that's a great spot.
He should win. He should win. Oh, Tito should win. God. Imagine that. Imagine the response from a vocal, half-full Coracon crowd if Tito pulls off the upset. He won't, but he should.
He should. That would be, I'm telling you what, if they did it right, that would be amazing, because you know that place would go batshit crazy. That would be so fucking fun. They won't do it because they want to. What do you think? Give me a chance. Give me something here. 25% or less.
Less. I'd give it a 5. I honestly think that's being generous. I mean, I am the high man in the room when it comes to Bad Dude Tito. So I've been singing his praises since day one when he appeared in New Japan Strong. But
what a spot. That's a good spot. I you know what?
I don't miss, Damon. I do not miss with these.
You don't. You are the strong. You're like the I'm going to call you Strong Scout. Joel.
Strongstradamus.
Yes.
Not Strongdamus.
I tell you what, if there were a place where I could put down a bet, put down a little odds, you know, put down a little action on it, I would put money on Bad Luck Tito to get the win. I would do it because the odds is you're like less than a 25% chance at
the time. It's Bad Dude Tito, not Bad Luck Tito.
Oh, did I say Bad Luck? I'm sorry.
Respect on the name.
Oh, all these bad. Everything's bad. Sorry. So
Bad News Tito bad against news. Minoru Suzuki.
All right. There's bad news. There's bad luck. All right. Bad news.
Bad breath.
Oh, terrible. Bad Breath Robinson. I want to know. I would take the bet. I would take that bet, absolutely, for Bad Dude Tito Santana.
We got some new fresh faces joining this tour. We got Hikuleo, he's back. Oh. Shane Haste will be joining up with TMDK. And we also have the new member of United Empire. Have you seen who this is?
Lord Gideon, right? Am I wrong?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What a treat. I'm excited about this. Now, I will say this has been mooted again. I think this was Andrew in the Discord has suggested that it might be a ruse where he is actually replaced by Yota Tsuji as a new member of United Empire. And I don't know if that will turn out to be the case, but I'll just take it at face value that it is Gideon Grey. I'm really looking forward to this because I like Gideon Grey a lot.
Me too. I think here's the thing too. Like, how many times does a manager get a opportunity like that, you know, to, especially for New Japan. I mean, you'll have different ancillary people like Callis, but you know, he would do triple duty between color commentating and all that shit. I love it. Good for him. I know he's been waiting a long time for that. It's not like, that's a nice little feather in his cap. Good for him. I'm happy for him. Good job.
Yeah, he's done such tremendous work helping out the young lions that are sent over to Excursion in the UK. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what is going on behind the scenes. For all I know, you know, he might be a huge help behind the scenes as well. But in the ring, at the very least, when he's there, being the hype man for guys like Okano, Tsuji, he's just done outstanding work. So I think he's going to go over really big with the Japanese fans. So I'm excited to see this personally. The other bit of news here was initially Alex Coughlin was announced for this tour.
Okay.
And then he was quote tweeting saying, I've got bad news for you guys. And it turns out he's still injured. So it's going to be the DKC taking Alex Coughlin's spot. but it does raise a bit of a tricky question here. So Danny says, after some of the issues with Ibushi and now Alex Coghlan being announced for a three-week tour before having to publicly say he's not back from injury yet, does there seem to be a problem with communication in New Japan?
Yes, which feels like has always happened, right? It feels like it's always the case. It's an uphill battle because they straddle the line between kayfabe and not, you know, and they just kind of are set in their ways. It feels like it's got to be frustrating at a certain point for people working there, and having to be the bridge of communications to the fans. They seem to work at their own pace, Joel. I wish I could say something different about it, but it seems correctable. It seems like it would be an easier fix. It just never does come to pass, does it? It's always an issue, the communication. At the end of the day, it's always an issue.
We have some other standout matches on this tour and outside of this tour, actually. The first one is September the 11th. We've got the Yuji Nagata 30th anniversary match. So that will be a singles match against Great Okan. From what I hear, Nagata looks like he's starting to slow down a bit. So we may be seeing him corner a day sooner rather than later, but we've got this singles match against Okan to look forward to. And also, we have Taichi's 20th anniversary match. Now, this is not in New Japan. This is part of Taka Taichi Despy Mania on September 12th. So that 20th anniversary match will be Taichi teaming with Yoshitatsu against Taguchi and Hiroki Goto. So the other three in that match were also from the same New Japan Dojo class of 2002. So technically, it's actually the 20th anniversary for all of those. So
wow.
That, I think, will be an interesting one. And, you know, don't sleep on these Taka Taichi Mania, Taka Taichi Despy Mania cards. You know, every time I've watched one, I thought, wow, that was a fucking good show. So I'm circling that one in the calendar, Damon.
September 11th, right?
So September the 11th is in New Japan. That's Yuji Nagata against Great Okan. Okay, September 12th, that's Taka Taichi Despy Mania.
Gotcha. Okay, well, it's a good weekend or middle of the week or whatever the fuck. Yeah, they're usually good. Yeah.
Also, we have, I've gone through all the cards for this tour, and most of them are just multi-man stuff. I wouldn't say there's anything must see, but looking at September the 18th, in everyone's favorite Japanese city of Beppu, it's the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Championship match. Damon, do you know who the champions are?
The Never Six-Man Champions are the team of, isn't it? I really don't fucking know.
Oh, fake fan.
I'm terrible. Give me a second.
You're joining Keeping It Strong style.
They don't know either. Come on. Isn't it?
I'm calling the Professor Marie Shadows right now to take over as co-host.
Oh, please.
Sorry. Who do you think they are?
I'm going to tell you. Right. Is it House of Torture?
No.
Okay.
Wrong.
All right, it's...
Okay, give you one more guess.
It's Doc Gallows.
Mm-mm.
No? All right, I don't know. Tell me.
Shall I tell you this? The faction?
Yeah.
Chaos.
Oh, I know. Chaos? Oh, fuck. Oh, no, I'm thinking the strong titles that... you know what I'm saying? Chaos? Is it... It's not Yoshihashi and Goto and...
Yes. Yes.
And...
You get the third man.
And who's the third guy? Who's the third guy? Quato? Not Master Wato, is it?
No.
I don't know. Who is it?
Yo. Oh. How could you forget Yo? Oh my God. Memorable Yo.
When did that happen? When the fuck did that match happen?
The Invisible Man.
I'm telling you, you could have put a gun in my mouth, and I would not have fucking gotten that answer. And I did my best to not Google. I wasn't going to cheat. Like, I literally had no fucking idea. No idea. Wow. Did you know?
All right. Now,
did you know?
Here's the fun bit. Did I know?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I'm a Shin Nihon freak, Damon. All right. So my next question then, who do you think they are going to be defending these titles against?
Oh, Christ.
I'm only going to give you one shot here.
All right. So they're going to defend the title against the team of... Evil.
Ding.
Yes. Dick Togo. Yes.
No.
Oh, fuck.
You can keep going, though.
Yujiro.
Ding.
And show.
Ding, 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 ding. Yay.
All right. Who the fuck cares? Don't we see this?
I think it's fair to say that the booking of the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Championships has somewhat fallen down by the wayside, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Remember when you cared? Remember that? Remember when you gave a shit? Oh, boy. Oh, well, look. That's a terrible job by me because I could not remember that they won them back, kind of. And I don't give a shit about that. I really don't. I can't tell you. And that's headlining one of those shows?
I think it's that. No, that's the semi-main. I think the main event is an elimination match.
Mm. Okay.
Says it all, really, doesn't it? All right, how about this one then? So this is Sunday, September 25th in Kobe World Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Opening match, we've got Bushi Hiromu Shingo against Hikuleo Kenta and ELP. Second match, we have the long-awaited rematch, grudge match, the Vengeance, Toriano against Doc Gallows. Third match.
Are you really serious? Stop. They're doing that again?
Oh, yes.
Well, you know somebody's getting their win back, right? You know Doc Gallows is going to hold on to that KOP, right?
Well, Shingo is KOPW champion.
I forgot that. That should have been your second question. Who holds the Shingo's got that. Oh, fantastic. What the fuck is going on with this promotion?
I mean, that could be ELP. ELP getting yet another pin over Shingo. Maybe ELP is going to be the next KOPW challenger.
So why are Gallows and Yano doing this again?
Just for to troll us. To annoy us as fans.
Okay. Oh, fucking Christ. You can tell how much I fast forward through these fucking shows.
Okay, well, let me stick with this card. So third match, we got Great O'Connor and Jeff Cobb against Chase Owens and Bad Luck Fale. So that's a rematch of the tag title feud that's been going on.
Right.
Fourth match is Sanada and Tetsuya Naito against Dangerous Techies, Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. And of course, you remember that was headlining a lot of big shows last year. So this time it's just a fourth match.
Yeah.
Interesting that they are doing a lot of these tag matches here. I don't know if this is a precursor to something or maybe with an eye towards World Tag League, but I thought that was notable that we have in the third match or the fourth match former champions. All four of those teams have held the tag titles within the last year, I think.
Yeah. All right, quickly, who's the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions?
Do you know the answer to this?
Yes.
It's FTR.
Very good. Okay. I thought that might have been a monkey wrench to it. Yeah, yeah. Good job by you. You're a good fan.
Fifth match, we got Honma, Makabe, Okada against Badu Tito, Shane Hayes, and Jonah. Sixth match, Kushida and Tama Tonga against Taiji Ishimori and Jay White. Seventh match, we have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match with the champions. Who are the champions? Junior Tag Champions, go.
The junior tag team champions are the team of, isn't it TJP and?
Yes.
Akira?
Yes.
All right.
And who do you think are going to be challenging them?
The team of?
Keep in mind the same theme of the previous time I asked you for our fresh challenges.
Okay. How about Despy and Kanemaru? No?
Nope. Oh, I'll tell you, it's Wato and Taguchi. We're just running back all the old feuds again. Eighth match, we have the Never Openweight Championship match. Never champion is?
That is Carl Anderson.
Well done. He is defending against Hiroshi Tanahashi. And the main event of this show, we have our IWGP US Heavyweight Championship match with the champion, Will Ospreay, defending against David Finlay. Now, aside from that Yano versus Doc Gallows stinker, that looks like a pretty good card to me.
I think the Anderson-Tanahashi match could be very good. Tag title match, that might be pretty good.
Ospreay Finlay in the main event for the US title. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Would you pay money for that? Like, if that was coming to your town, would you pay money for that?
It depends how much. I would. No, I think that's going to be really good. I expect good work rate from both of those lads.
Okay. So for $40 US, whatever that would be in your country's currency, would you pay money for that?
What, just that match, or would I go to the show
for the
money? Yeah, okay. I would. I think this is pretty good. Given that this is a B show.
It is.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
I think so. So that is the Kobe World Hall show. Let's go chronologically here. Let's touch on Royal Quest 2.
Wow. All the way across the ocean.
I know, right? We have that announced for Saturday, October 1st, and Sunday, October the 2nd, in the Crystal Palace National Sports Centre. So the announced talent we've got so far, we have Okada, Ospreay, Naito, Zach, Hiromu, FTR, Jay White, Ishii, and Aussie Open have all announced for it so far.
That's pretty good.
Bash says, I'm off to the London show both nights. What do we think we're getting card-wise, apart from the IWGP Women's Qualifier match in this card? I'll talk about that in a moment. It would be good to see the Stardom girls on the international show. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment as well. Parker says, what are your predicted headline matches for both nights of Royal Quest 2? So given those names I've announced, and given this is right between two big shows of the Burning Spirit card that I just read to you, and the Declaration of Power card, which, I mean, for the sake of context, I suppose I should say what matches are announced for that. So that will be Monday, October 10th. This is what used to be King of Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Monday, October 10th in the Ryogoku Kokugihan. We have two matches announced for that. Special singles match, Okada versus Jonah, because Okada's decided he's not defending the briefcase anymore. He's just told them, just put me straight in the fucking main event of Wrestle Kingdom. I'm not messing around with no briefcase this year. And they said, yes, sir.
Yep.
And not only that, but he also said, I read something on the website along the lines of, if Jonah were to beat Okada clean again, then he might get a shot at Jay White's IWGP title. Wow. Which just seems incredible to me that Okada's just got them all wrapped around his little finger. So we've got Okada versus Jonah in a special singles match of absolutely no consequence. And we also have the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match with Tama Tonga versus Jay White. So that's what we've got for Declaration of Power. So in between Burning Spirit and Declaration of Power, we have Royal Quest 2. So given those names I've mentioned, and that's Royal Quest 2, Okada, Ospreay, Naito, Zach, Hiromu, FTR, JY, Ishii, Aussie Open, and more to come, of course. What do you think we could reasonably expect? Because I don't think we're going to be getting a world title match, are we?
No, I don't think so. You'll probably get Mr. Jay White and probably like a Hikaleo against Tama Tonga and X, you know. I think at best you're going to get Will in a singles match, because he just seems to, that's where his head is. So that'll be, like, if you're going to hang your hat on the great match, the great singles match of the night, it'll be Will against somebody, probably.
Yeah, maybe Will versus Zach for the US title.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that they've been chatting about a lot. Wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Zach's a guy who could lose, and it's not going to be that big of a deal. Or win, for that matter. Yeah, I think that's...
What about FTR against Aussie Open for the IWGP tag titles? Do you think there's a chance of seeing that in London?
Yeah. Being that...
Do you think that's a worthy main event? I think it could be.
Yes.
Night one.
Yep. Because Aussie Open, you know, they're... You know, They spent a lot of time there. So it's not like they're going to be like, who's the, you know, they know. That's what they, you know. FTR would probably be the one that they would be scratching their heads over. And that's not going to be the case. They'd be smart to do that. That would be it would be a fucking great match. I think you could do it. You don't need to protect anything. Yeah, that'd be really good, actually. I think that's a good out right there.
Yeah, I don't think I would be surprised if they deliver substandard cards for this. I think they know that the UK market is important to them, and they want to put on two good shows, right?
Yeah, and they had the last couple of them canceled, and yeah, I think they want to get off on a good foot. They definitely do.
And I would also say, you know, we looked at the Forbidden Door card and thought that looked a bit lackluster, but it turned out being a great event. So even if the card is not what you'd hoped in your wildest dreams, I think, you know, a raucous London crowds, and I think the talent will want to put on a good show for them.
Yeah.
I think either way, even if it's, you know, a shit hot card top to bottom, or if it's one where you're thinking, you know, this is not really what I wanted, I still think it's going to be two really good shows.
I agree. Like, I think that's the mindset people have to go in. And again, I'm not going to tell you what to think, but try not to think about what's on paper, because you are 1,000% correct. Like, going into Forbidden Door, it felt like everybody was getting hurt and changes in the card and everything. But you know what? It turned out to be great. So whoever's on that card is going to work their fucking tail off. So don't worry about that. You're going to get great matches no matter who's in the ring. It really feels that way. Like, that's the one blessing that this promotion has, is that they have so much talent top to bottom that, you know, just because it doesn't look good on, you know, in your notebook or sexy on paper, don't hand wave. And maybe I should take that advice for some of these fucking New Japan shows coming up, right? Right? Maybe they will be good. But I think this is a little bit different. This is a little bit, you know, we definitely want to put our best foot forward for this.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And I think a hot crowd can make all the difference here. I think had the Forbidden Door crowd been less vociferous than they were, then maybe, you know, the wrestlers feed off the energy of the crowd, don't they? If they can hear that they are adored and appreciated by the crowd, then they're going to go that extra mile to put on a great show. So I expect the same thing to happen in London. Now, with that being said about crowds, New Japan have actually announced two more Japan shows that will allow cheering, which will be October 16th and November 2nd. They're part of the recently announced Battle Autumn 22 tour. So the October 16th show will be at 50% capacity with cheering allowed by all fans, while November 2nd will have sections that will be socially distanced and allow cheering. So are you reading anything into this, that they're sort of pushing the boat out a bit more, trying more cheering shows with different setups?
They're going to look, they know that they have to find a way to get this. I don't even say workaround. Like, they're not going to have shows outdoors. You know, that window's rapidly closing. They have no fucking other choice but to find ways to make this work. They can't go on. Here's the thing. They can go on, but they don't want to go on with this anymore. So, yeah, they're going to try and find creative ways to meet their requirements. It's got to end sometime. It's just got to end sometime. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, though. Like, aren't there cheering and concerts at other indoor events? Like, I don't know. Why is this taking so fucking long? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's extremely frustrating. And, you know, no Japan, it will be resolved in the most roundabout, right, convoluted way possible. So, yeah, don't hold your breath. But still, at least we have some cheering shows to look forward to that are in on the calendar. Okay, let's talk about Historic Crossover.
All right.
I think that's how to pronounce it. So that's Sunday, November 20th at the Tokyo Ariake Arena. So this is going to be the New Japan and Stardom crossover show. So we've had some matches announced for that already. We have Siuri and Tom Lawler against Julia and Zack Sabre Jr. We have Utami Hayashishita and Hiroshi Tanahashi against Maika and Hiroki Goto. And we have an 8-person tag team match with Natsupoi, Tam Nakano, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Taichi against Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, El Desperado, Doki. Now, given that we know fuck all about Stardom, are we going to have to bring in reinforcements to preview and review these shows?
Might be a smart idea. Might be a good idea. We might need to, once again, dust off the Super J-Cast bat signal and put out a call for help. What I was most surprised with, and I don't know how you felt about this, I was super shocked that these matches are mixed. Like, I honestly thought we would just see, you know, separate matches like we have on Tokyo Dome shows or what have you.
They're doing it so I can't ignore them. You know, usually
that's it.
They do the Stardom shows. I just like, well, I'm sorry, I don't know these guys. We're going to skip them. Now I can't do it anymore.
But that's Joel. That's that makes it skip proof, right? You if you're going to watch this show, you're going to watch it. Which I think, not for nothing, I think is probably a smart idea. Like, if you want to grow your product, like, this is how you do it. I don't know the answer to this question, so I'm going to ask you, Joel. What is the general discourse of the idea of the intergender matches?
I haven't heard anyone who's against it. I mean, obviously, this is a setup whereby the men can only face the men, the women can only face the women. So, for example, if Julia tags out to Zack Sabre Jr., then Siuri would also have to tag out to Tom Lawler. Mm-hmm. I believe that's how it works. So, you know, we're not having situations where we're going to have men wrestling against women. So, yeah, I haven't seen any qualms about that so far.
Okay, good. How do you feel about the prospect of involving Stardom in New Japan Pro Wrestling matches?
I'm scared. I'm apprehensive because it's going to mean more work for me because I'm a lazy man.
Right.
And I know what I know about the current New Japan roster. And I'm, you know, in order to do my job properly as a podcast co-host, I'm going to have to actually learn some stuff about these Joshi wrestlers, which I should do. You know, we can't ignore it anymore. This is part of New Japan now. And especially with the IWGP Women's Championship being announced, I think it would be terrible for us to just hand wave that and be like, oh, we're not talking about that, because this is a New Japan podcast and the IWGP Women's Champion is part of New Japan, right?
I think you're right. I think you're 1,000% right. Like, I feel like we can either listen, you're talking to the guy who couldn't even name the fucking never six-man champion. That's right. So
help, basically. Someone help us.
Yeah, we might need
school us.
Yeah, we might need, like, periodically someone to come in and, you know, school us. We might need that. That might be our future. Maybe not every show.
It'll be another job for Karen. She does the Stardom coverage for Post Wrestling.
Really?
I'm sure there's lots of people who are into Stardom. Just get in touch with me if you're interested.
Yeah.
If you're good at podcasting and you'd be willing to come on the show and do a bit of audio with us.
Yeah. And you're not offended by dick jokes. And farts.
I can do fanny jokes as well. I'm equal opportunity jokes.
Well, yes. Yes. Trust me. We're not partial to the penis. We are. What? What am I saying?
What a sentence.
What a sentence.
Isolate that audio.
Yeah.
Remix it. All right. Let's stick with this historic crossover. So this is going to be distributed as a pay-per-view on New Japan World. And the first IWGP Women's Champion will be crowned at the show. So there will be a tournament to determine who will take part in that match. Quarterfinals are going to happen at both the second night of Royal Quest 2 on October 2nd and also on Stardom's October 22nd event. Semi-finals will take place at Stardom's October 23rd show. So one side of the bracket will be all Stardom talent. The other side of the bracket will be all international talent. So that's the quarterfinal match at Royal Quest 2 on the second night. So that will be Britain's Ava White, who, and I'm not going to name this person, but someone who follows the British scene, I quote, says she's awful. So I'm a bit nervous already. against Germany's alpha female Jazzy Gabbert. And I do remember Jazzy Gabbert from the, I think it was the WWE women's tournament they did. Was it the Mae Young Classic? I think it was. And I thought she was pretty good there, actually. So I know who Jazzy Gabbert is, and I liked her. So Jazzy Gabbert, good. Ava White, don't know yet.
Okay, jury's out. Yeah, we don't know. Maybe we need to do our little homework, you know, but the report.
Give it a chance.
The report.
The winner of that match will face a to be announced opponent who has got a bye into the semifinals of that October 23rd Stardom show. So, Stardom's representative from Stardom's five factions drew straws to see which four of those factions will be represented on their side of the bracket. So, the four factions to be represented will be Stars, Queen's Quest, Donna Del Mondo, and Oedo Tai. So there you go. There's a bit of information for you already. Remember those faction names. So most of the Japan-based talent are going to be wrestling in their five-star Grand Prix. So the finals are the day before Royal Quest. So there's a bit of disappointment for fans going to Royal Quest that they're not going to see the full Stardom roster, but of course they're going to be tied up with their five-star Grand Prix. They've also announced that the champion's first title defense will take place at Wrestle Kingdom 17. And they also revealed the design for the IWGP Women's Championship belt, which is reminiscent of the V2 for the IWGP title. So there's a lot of changes coming this way. A lot of new faces, new belts, tournaments, championships. I'm quite excited, actually, because, you know, people tell me how great Stardom is. And if we can even just get a little taste of that for the New Japan shows, it can only be a good thing. So I'm going to put aside my inherent laziness and fear of change and fear of the unknown and be quietly optimistic about this.
I feel exactly the same way as you, in the sense of it's been a long time since I jumped into the Stardom pool. Been a long time. And like, you're right. This has now become more relevant to what we do. I have no room in my life to add on a completely new promotion, factions, wrestlers, all of it. But if we're it's there. Here's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that it's bad that it's there. I'm not. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm stretched to the gills as it is. Now on the other side, like, if you put aside that feeling, like, it is kind of exciting in the sense of there is this whole world that we're kind of clueless on that is rapidly becoming part of our world. I feel like to do this justice and to do this right, we will need that help, at least in the beginning. So, yeah, this show is going to change a little bit in the sense of just from a what we cover and what we don't cover. It's something we have to cover, right? It's something that is important to this promotion. We got to cover it. And I say that like not in a way like, oh, shrug my shoulders, we got to do what we got to do. It's fucking great pro wrestling. It's just something that is now we got to cover two promotions, right? Fun times ahead.
Yes. Excitement and terror.
Yes. Excitement and terror. Yes. Because here's the problem. Here's the problem that I have. At least I feel like, okay, the joke's on me. I can't fucking name the Never Six-Man titles. Why? Because I don't give a fuck. This is important to people. Like, this promotion is important to a lot of people. And if it's going to be a part of what we talk about on a weekly basis, then we need to do it right. You know, we need to treat it like everything else. And I don't know if Joel, are you going to have the guts to say that someone that you're not familiar with, that maybe you personally don't think is that good, are you going to be able to be like, okay, that person's not good? Like, I don't know if
no, and I feel I can say that about people that I cover every week and right. I've been covering for years because right. I've got that context.
Right. Like, I don't have the context. And I'm just waiting for, like, the stardom purists to destroy us because we don't know. We don't know.
Christ, a whole new set of people for right. me to annoy on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. Jesus. These fucking idiots, they don't know what the fuck they're talking. No, we don't. We have no fucking idea. Like, but
look, we've got the answer. We suppose it's ready. We just hide behind someone else.
That's it. Okay. We'll do the Brian Alvarez. All right.
Like, person how is that we are.
Yeah. You're right.
Shuffle the papers, take it away, Karen, or like, whoever it right. is.
Exactly. This is exactly what's gonna happen. But until we get up to speed, but that means we have to do a lot of homework. And I think, and here's the thing too. That is kind of exciting because how many fucking times do you feel like, okay, you know, you already have your opinion set on Taguchi or Wato or Tama Tonga or like, it's very rare that you're going into things that are a little bit off the beaten path for us, right? Like, it is kind of exciting. It's very exciting. But in the same breath, it is a little terrifying in a sense of, like, if I were going to say, like, okay, Joel, I need you, I do this fucking Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, and my co-host is no longer available. Can you hop on? I need you. You're in a pit, you know what I mean? Like, now you're scrambling for fucking, you know, information. And
or like me, when I ask you about matches that have taken place on Strong.
Yes, exactly. So, you know,
David, what did you think of Drew Adler's performance? Break it down.
It's really great. That's wonderful. My life is very busy. So, with that being said, we'll figure it out. But I think our goal is to do it justice, is to do it to where new people will learn, and we have a authoritative voice.
Yes, we have a duty to do it justice and cover it properly because we're the voice of the fans, Damon.
Yes, we are. So, Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't want to be embarrassed. That's really the bottom line. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to feel like we did a poor job. I don't want to feel like I don't want to be embarrassed. So I'm embarrassed enough doing this show, let alone adding another layer to it that I'm really not well-versed. But we'll figure it out. But that might mean, you know, we might need to put out the bat signal. So we'll figure it out. But it's good. That's good. It is true. It's exciting.
Just a little tidbit that's popped up here. In case you were wondering about what Marty Scurll is up to these days.
He is
wrestling.
Okay.
He's been picked up by, well.
The narrative? Control your narrative. Is it control your narrative?
I would say it's worse than that. Oh. I'm going to send you on WhatsApp.
All right. Let me grab my phone. I figured that would be right up his alley, right? All right. Got that. What the fuck is this? We're going south of the border here. We're going to Puerto Rico. Is that where we're going? At Senior Frog.
Not just Puerto Rico. Senior Frogs. Which is a restaurant.
Yes, it is. It's like that chain restaurant that's in every Caribbean island. Yeah. Yeah, and Mexico, I believe. Yeah. Wow.
You know how like a lot of the British wrestlers in their autobiographies and stuff, they talk about how they started off working the holiday camps, you know, wrestling in Butlins in front of groups of holidaymakers. This is below that.
well, look. What are you going to do?
It's extremely...
Like it says, like the hashtag. Anyway. Look at the hashtag. Hashtag.
Senor Frogs.
Right. Mexican food. Lucha Libre. Restaurant. Hashtag drinks. Hashtag stay for the party. Hashtag come for the food.
On the cross-faced chicken wings as the waiters go past with trays of nachos.
Right. Those are literally the hashtags. Hashtag Puerto Rico. Hashtag Mexican food. Hashtag lucha libre. Hashtag restaurant. Hashtag drinks. Wow. Woo! This is, what is this? This is Summer Mayhem and Senior Frogs. Woo! All right. Look, I hope it's...
I'm not going to become a Senior Frogs podcast anytime soon, so don't worry.
No. But I'll tell you what. This is crazy. Oh, now I'm watching an Instagram video of your lovely wife, your lovely child, drinking a cold, refreshing drink.
Keep watching.
Okay, so on his head, is it going to be that?
She's, oh my she's using my son.
Oh my gosh! Look at that. It's balanced. He did a good job. Way to go, buddy. All right. Oh, he's walking. How's the walking doing?
Is he all right? He's nearly got there. He can do like one or two steps by himself.
Oh my lord.
Give it till maybe a week or two. I think he'll get it.
All right. Listen, well, you're more than welcome to stay here. As long as you need. All right, what else we got to talk about?
Now, let's go from my strong son to the strong New Japan strong. This is something I didn't talk about last week.
Okay.
Terrible segue. I'm on sedatives, don't blame me.
Right. You got
to bounce. Last week, I forgot to talk, well, we didn't have time to talk about the strong overweight tag team championships final, where Aussie Open defeated Yu Uemura and Christopher Daniels. It was only 12 minutes long. But it was pretty good, you know, as far as 12-minute tag matches go. And I'm excited for Aussie Open getting those belts. I think they're the right choice to be the champions and looking forward to, you know, seeing who they defend against in the future. I think they've got defense against West Coast Wrecking Crew lined up. And, you know, I think that's going to be one to watch. But, I mean, it was hard not to watch that match and think about Carl Fredericks, because that was supposed to be his spot. And I knew that something was going to go down between Daniels and Fredericks afterwards. There was going to be a breakup and they'd go into a program together. And so I'm glad that you and Uemura got it, but you know, it's hard not to look at that and think, oh, Carl, you fucked it all up for yourself. But there we go. That was the tag team championships. On to this week's episode of Strong, where we had JR Kratos defeating Drew Adler in 4 minutes 43 seconds. So it looks like they're heating up Kratos. Maybe he's going to get a title shot against Fred Rosser. I don't think he's received one yet, but that I think would be a good direction to go in. The second match, we had Rocky Romero and Dax Harwood. So Dax Harwood won in 10 minutes and 26 seconds with a sharpshooter. So, you know, of course, this is a guy who's most famous for his tag achievements, but recently he's moved away from the tag action. And I think he's put together a really impressive run of singles matches, maybe a dark horse to sneak in a few rest of the year ballots. And just really? Generally, a really underappreciated wrestler who I think is low key brilliant. Dax Harwood was also in this match. So the main event was a three-way match between Hiromu Takahashi, El Desperado, and Blake Christian. So Blake Christian was the late replacement. It was supposed to be Clark Connors, but Blake Christian filled in after Clark got injured. So Despy won. He pinned Blake Christian after 19 minutes, 19 seconds with the Pinche Loco. So this was a really fun match, what you'd expect from these three guys. And I think Blake Christian, to me at least, he's proved he can hang with the top boys. And again, you'll remember many, many months ago, I said I thought Blake Christian wasn't ready for this year's Best of the Super Junior, and he wasn't in this year's Best of the Super Junior. But I did say back then, I think he'll make the cut next year. And that is looking like yet another brilliant prediction from me, because it seems like New Japan look like they're sowing their seeds already. He's been pushed recently by having these big matches against the biggest stars in the New Japan Junior division. Afterwards, Despy was saying that he would love to see Blake Christian come back for Best of the Super Juniors. And he's only 25, so he's young. He's got plenty of room for improvement. I'm not saying he's a finished article by any means. He's certainly got areas he can work on. But that said, Damon, are you joining me? Are you investing in the Blake Christian Best of the Super Juniors 2023 stonks?
It's the stonks. That's tough. Because once again, as the country opens up, there's going to be opportunities for people not only on Strong, but all over the world. And there's only
so are you saying that someone from Send Your Frogs might make a late run and guess?
I never thought we would talk about Senior Frogs on this show, but look at us now. That would be my.
I mean, look, we got a crossover with Glate. Why not Senior Frogs?
I know. It's. I can't say that I would be. You know, it's not like that I wouldn't want him there, because I would be more than fine with that. It's more of, are there enough spots? That's really it. And here's the thing, too. That's with every tournament that they hold, whether it's New Japan Cup, whether it's G1, whether it's Best of the Super Juniors, whether it's World Title, whatever it is. It's like...
Yeah, because only the cream of the crop made it in for this year's G1.
Well, right. Again, people have to lose. But it is that...
That's what Rock Hard Juice Robinson is there for.
Tomohiro Ishii apparently too. So, again, do I have a problem with him going? No. Do I have a problem with how he's going to squeeze in? I wouldn't call it a problem. I just think it's a good problem to have. You know, you have so much talent. Could I see him there? Yes. To answer the question, yes. Do I think he's going to be there? No, I don't.
All right. Well, you can save that audio.
All right.
We'll come back to it next when the blocks are announced. Blake Christian's a funny one because, you know, when I see him wrestling against guys like Hiromu, I think, wow, this guy's really talented. He's got, you know, the world at his feet. But then I see like some gifs of stuff he's doing on GCW and think, oh, Jesus Christ, this is like shindy as hell. So I'm struggling to reconcile those things. But like I said, he is young and he will improve. Yeah. So there's that. There was a really great post-match promo by Despy that's worth checking out. I cut it in English. The gist of it was, I like USA, but I hate Airplane, which
hey.
You can synchronize with. They've announced our matches for the 9/11 Strong tapings in Vegas. So this is now called Autumn Action. It was called Autumn Attack.
Yeah.
But maybe they didn't like the optics of Autumn Attack on 9/11. So we've got Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Homicide versus Jay White and Good Brothers. We've got Tomohiro Ishii versus Tom Lawler. Rocky Romero versus Shingo Takagi, Blake Christian and Mascara Dorada versus the original Mystico and Alex Zane. So those are, I mean, more matches to come, but I think that's a pretty fun start to the autumn action.
Please, this is my country. How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
Never forget. Never forget.
All right. I'm tired now.
Are you? All right.
Yeah. Can we stop?
We can. We could. We could. I stopped 20 minutes ago.
It's not recording anymore. Fuck.
Yeah. Wrap it up. And again, be on the lookout. We're probably gonna reach out and touch faith when it comes to the Stardom coverage. So.
Okay. Let me ask you a difficult question, David. Do you think this person who we would like to join us for Stardom coverage should be a woman?
I want the best one. I want the best person. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a Martian. I don't know if should is the answer. I want the best person. So, yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
All right, that's fair. We're a meritocracy here on the Super J-Cast. Two best podcasters.
I just don't want another. I just don't want another British accent. That's all I want. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can. I'll be blown away. You know what I mean? I'll just be like, oh, two sexy voices, great, and me.
Extremely generous of you. All right. Anyway, redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. If you want to throw some money our way, we would appreciate it. Discord, you can get a link for that if you send me a direct message on Twitter at CobraKawaii and ProWrestlingTees.com/SuperJcast if you want to get one of our great t-shirts. Big thanks to editor Dan. Find him on Twitter at LousyHero219. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. There's a very good episode of Eurograps Express this week with Neil David did an angry Yorkshireman rant about the state of the British wrestling industry. Ooh. Worth checking out. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at the SuperJcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and goodbye.